Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter 26, so glad that you're here. It's good to be back with you folk. We missed Sunday back on Wednesday night, had a good time Wednesday night. Glad that you're here today and looking forward to what God is going to do. Brother Gleb mentioned that this is a busy time of year. And if you look at the cycling of the world, it seems like spring and fall are busy times in the world. Spring when things begin to sprout and grow, and fall when things begin to be ready to harvest, and then to some of them go into hibernation and such things as that. But it's busy times in God's work and God's plan. And I think it's opportunity time when maybe perhaps in the heat of the summer and the cold of the winter, we don't have quite those opportunities. But we do now. We certainly want to take advantage of those. Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse number 1, we're going to follow the Apostle Paul here for a ways. He's on trial now, and one of several. This will be the third time that he has been spoken to by authorities to give a reason of why the Jewish nation is such so much against him, why they have taken such a dislike to him. And the reason for that is because they say they're waiting for Messiah, and the Apostle Paul claims Messiah has already come. Open your eyes. And so that would be our message to the Jewish people today. And we ought to look for every opportunity that we could to present the gospel to the Jewish people. I believe God is pleased when we do that. But I don't believe that God is pleased if we walk by a Gentile just to get to a Jew. We're supposed to give the gospel to every creature, and I believe that God is pleased when we do that. So the Apostle Paul has been arrested. Now he's coming up before a king. It says in verse number 1, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand." This may be where the idea comes from, that they say a Jewish man cannot speak without using his hands. Maybe this is where it came from. I don't know. It says, "Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." We're going to stop our reading there for right now. And I was captivated again. And I've noticed this several times as I've read this portion of Scripture. In verse number 2, the Apostle Paul said, "I think myself happy." And so today we want to look at the subject of a happy people. I could ask you this morning, are you happy? Now, there's a real difference between being happy and being joyful. Happiness is based on what's happening. Joy is based on a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that. And yet I think there are some things that you know, it's not wrong to be happy as long as we're happy about the right things. And so we want to look at some of those things today, and let's ask God to help us as we look at that subject. Father, we thank you today that we know you're very present. And Lord, we're grateful for that. Thank you for your promise that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for your promise that you stick closer than a brother. Thank you, Father, that you loved us when we were absolutely unlovable and opposed to you and the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that you must love us even more now that we belong to you. What an investment you have in us. And Lord, I pray that we would allow you to use that investment for your glory and your honor and for your betterment. I pray, Father, that people would hear the gospel from our lips and see the gospel in our lives and desire to join us on a way to a place called heaven. What a wonderful promise, Lord, that we can know that we have eternal life, that we can believe on the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us now, I pray, Lord, to honor you with our thinking, with our meditating, with our preaching, with our speaking, our singing, with our presence today. Help us to honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. What I did is I was reading down through this. I came across this. It kind of jumped off the page at me where Paul said, "I think myself happy." And I got to thinking now, what did Paul really mean when he said that? And I think it can be two things. It could be one of the two, or it could be both. First off, he said, I think I'm happy. I believe I'm happy. I think that the Apostle Paul, when he was on that ship that we're going to be reading about a few chapters from now, he said that they were to be of good cheer. He said, things are not as bad as you think they are. And maybe that's kind of what he was saying here. I think I'm happy. And I could ask you this morning, do you think you're happy? Are you excited about the things of the Lord? Are you excited about where you're at? Are you excited about where you're going? Are you excited about life? Are you happy today? I think that's a question we ought to ask ourselves. And then probably a question following that, a sub-question would be, if not, why not? And we could ask ourselves a third question, if so, why so? And if we're happy for the right reason, because the Lord Jesus is working in our life, we ought to take time once in a while just to tell him, thank you, Lord, that I'm happy. Thank you that I'm satisfied in Christ Jesus. The second thing I think he could be meaning is, I make myself happy by my thinking. I think myself happy, and my thinking produces happiness in my life. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so we ask you this morning, does your thinking produce happy thoughts for you? Now, sometimes our thinking becomes stinking. And, you know, if we're victims of stinking thinking, we're gonna have some struggles in life. And we've got a lot as God's people. We have so many things to be happy for and happy about. And life is not perfect. Sin has destroyed the perfection of life in this world. But we're headed to a world where it is perfect if we're saved. Amen. And we can enjoy the trip if we know the Lord Jesus and we're walking in sweet fellowship with him. We need to abide in him and let him work in us and let him, don't squeal so much when he knocks off those edges and puts us on the grindstone and polishes us, trying to make us a little bit more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his goal for us. Now I want to look at some other places in the Bible where the term happy is used. It's not used so often in the New Testament. And as I looked at those, I think about, you know, there's two things I think we ought to really look at in the Bible. When something is named many, 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 many times, we ought to look at it because it's evident that God doesn't want us to miss that. And when things are named a few times, I think it's like gold or diamonds, it's a rare thing and therefore ought to hold a special meaning to us. And I believe that the word happy is only used in our King James Bible in the New Testament about six or seven times. We're going to look at some of those today. Let's go to the book of John chapter number 8, if you will. John chapter 8, and this is not where it says anything about happy, but it's a subtext to the subject. In John chapter 13 and verse number 17, the Bible says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And so if we see a Christian that is not happy, wouldn't it be an honest question to say, what do you know you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing? What is there in your life that you're not doing that you ought to be doing? Now, we get all over Christians for doing things they're not supposed to be doing, but the Bible says there are some things we're supposed to do. And in John chapter 13, verse number 17, it says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And so when God tells us to do something, somebody said, ours is not to question why, ours is but to do or die. We need to do the things that God wants us to do if we want to have the happiness that God wants to give us. I don't believe that God is a sourpuss up in heaven with a stick in one hand and a rock in the other just ready to get us when we do what we're not supposed to do. I don't believe God is that way. I don't believe that God is a party pooper. I don't believe that God has a sadistic mind. I believe that God wants us to enjoy life. And so God gives us some things and he says, listen, there's a list of things that we Baptists get all over that we're not supposed to do, but there's some things we are supposed to do. And the Bible says, happy are ye if you do them. And so it looks to me like we ought to maybe go back in John chapter 13 and find out some of the things that God is listing there and then determine, by God's grace, I'm going to do those things. I want to be a happy Christian. I want to be a good advertisement for the Lord Jesus. I don't want to be a reason for people snubbing Christianity, dying and going to hell, missing Christ, missing eternal life, because somebody sees in my life an unhappy person and says, so what's the use? I'm happier than they are. We need to be careful about it. In John chapter 8, beginning in verse number 29, the Bible says, And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. You see, Jesus said to please the Father, he did the things he was supposed to do. In verse number 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, that verse, verse number 30 there is quoted, verse number 32 is quoted quite often, but it's absolutely taken out of context. The truth will only make you free if you're doing what you're supposed to do. Notice again what it says. As he spake these words, verse 30, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, saved people, if you keep my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So here again, Jesus has said, we're only free as we're obeying the word of God. And so many people say, well, you know, the truth will set you free. And it will if you do it. But listen, it'll tie you up if you're not doing it. God is not mocked. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so here the Lord Jesus himself says, if you want to be happy, you've got to do what you're supposed to do. All right, let's go to the book of Romans, chapter number 14. Romans, chapter number 14. Here the Lord, the Apostle Paul is speaking about eating things and causing other people to stumble when you eat something you're not supposed to eat, when you do something which will somebody else holds a different opinion of than you do. And so he says, verse number 20, for meat destroy not the work of God, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The Bible says in verse number 22, we allow ourselves to do things. We allow ourselves to do things. Sometimes the Holy Spirit of God will tell us not to do something, but we allow ourselves to do it anyway. Sometimes society will tell us not to do something, and we allow ourselves to do it anyway. Sometimes friends or family or influences in our life will say, no, you shouldn't do that, but we do it anyway. We allow ourselves to do it. And the Bible says, happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. Sometimes we allow ourselves to do things, and then all of a sudden our conscience pricks us. Our conscience convicts us. We say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And when we're doing things we ought not to do, and our conscience convicts us of that, it's pretty difficult to be the happy Christian God wants us to be. And of course, when our conscience convicts us, then we need to do office work with the Lord Jesus and the Holy Ghost of God. He's willing to forgive us if we'll confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let me share this with you in your prayer life. If when you get down on your face before God and you confess a sin and you don't get up feeling cleaner than you did when you knelt down, you probably ought to kneel down again. Because it's just like taking a shower. You're supposed to be able to sense, we don't go a lot on feelings, but you should be able to sense a difference when you get up from confessing your sin. And sometimes we get down and we say all the right words, but our heart's not in it. It doesn't do any good. It goes no higher than the ceiling. So we need to understand the Bible says, again, happy is he that condemneth not himself. You know, I can argue when somebody else condemns me. I can argue a lot of things. But when my conscience, when myself, when I condemn myself, it's pretty hard to argue against that. And we have excuse for everything else, but the Bible says simply, happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. So I allow it to happen, and if it condemns me, I'm unhappy. Whose fault is it? Amen. All right, and then we go to the book of James, chapter number 5. James, chapter number 5. And we're going to be looking at verse number 11. The Bible says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We count them happy that endure. You'll never be happy if you're a quitter. And listen, I can testify about being a quitter. The year that I got saved in December, and I believe, if I've counted the number right, I believe it was 9 different jobs I had a wife and a baby to support, had 9 different jobs in 1 year, and was looking for another when I got saved. Quitters aren't happy people. They're not happy people. And of course, we all have an excuse when we quit. It's his fault, it's her fault, it's their fault. It's my car's fault, whatever. But quitters aren't happy. They're not happy people. And so the Bible says simply here that we count them happy which endure. And then God reaches way back into the Old Testament, pulls brother Job up and says, consider him. Consider him. We have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And so we can understand that we're supposed to endure. Being a Christian, a Bible Christian, is not always an easy life. There's some things you have to endure. The fact is, I believe in Hebrews chapter 12, if I'm not mistaken, just had a brainstorm. In Hebrews chapter 12, I believe it is that the Bible says of the Lord, let me see here. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Lord. So here we find the Bible says we count them happy which endured. Now, how are you enduring? How are you enduring? Somebody says, man, I'm just about ready to throw in the towel. I'm just about ready to walk off. I'm about ready to quit. You hear those things all the time as a preacher. People confide in you and they say, this is bad and that's bad and something else is bad. We count them happy which endured. We need to understand the importance of keeping on. And then the Bible mentions that thing called patience. Patience. And if we're gonna serve the Lord, we're gonna have to have patience. And of course, patience comes from tribulation. God allows tribulation to come into our life, and perhaps right now, and the things we're going through, the things that we are struggling with. Maybe God is allowing us to have those because he knows we're going to need the patience that produces for the next test that we come to. So we need to understand we count them happy which endured. We, meaning we count somebody else happy that endured. So when somebody else looks at us, are they counting us happy? How can they see in our life that we have endured, that we've gone through a struggle, we've come out the victor of that because of the grace of God? It's to be pronounced that we're happy by someone else. We count them happy. A person looked at Job and said, man, I don't understand how Job could be happy in the situation he's in. And what he came through, how can he be happy? But he is. We count them happy which endured. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And verse number 14. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake. Someone says, well, Brother Sutton, if you're going through what I'm going through, you wouldn't be so happy. Well, if you're going through what you're going through for righteousness' sake, you ought to be happy. The Apostle Paul in jail, and I even wrote that down as an illustration, chapter 16, verse number 25. Of Acts, we find the Apostle Paul and Silas in jail. In fact, just turn over there because the way it's worded is very, very explicit, very plain, I think very on purpose, chapter 16 of Acts and verse number 25. Here now, remember, they had been beaten, and their crime was that they had cast a devil out of this woman and this young damsel, and they got cast into prison because of that. They've been beaten a couple of different times. They commanded to be beaten, verse number 22. And then in verse number 25, it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." So I guess that promotes another question. As the people that hear us, what do they hear? What do they hear? "But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye." They weren't in there moaning and groaning and complaining and saying the world's not fair and I'm just going to go out and eat a toad or something. That's not what they're saying. They were happy. They were happy people. And then 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." And so as we examine our own life, and as Brother Weaver and I were visiting before services this morning, and a problem thing came up, the subject of a problem thing came up in somebody else's life, and I said, "The problem is, every time I get my handkerchief out and start to wipe their nose, I find out that my nose needs wiping worse than theirs did." And so here the Bible simply says that if we be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Let me ask you, when was the last time that you really got in trouble for serving the Lord? Or have you ever really gotten in trouble for serving the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about being stupid. I guess you're not supposed to use that word. I'm not talking about being foolish. But when was the last time you got in trouble for serving the Lord? It ought to happen once in a while. It ought to happen once in a while. Boy, the bells rang when I said that. It ought to happen once in a while that we get in trouble for serving the Lord. Not going out looking for trouble. Listen, you don't need a Geiger counter or a hunting hound to find trouble. It's around every corner. And we ought to avoid trouble all the time we can without having to compromise or take back the truth of God's word. But if you're just out serving the Lord Jesus, just enjoying serving Him, and you get in trouble for it, you ought to say, "Thank you, Lord." And you ought to be happy. You ought to be happy. It's a mark of a Christian that's yielded to the Lord. My Father, I thank you today that we can be a happy people. Lord, even more than that, we can be a joy-filled people. And I trust you'd help us to allow you to make application of every verse that we've looked at today, and there were several. Lord, as far as I know, that's every verse in the New Testament that deals with the subject of being happy. And we desire, Lord, we hunger. Lord, sometimes we pay great amounts of money. We buy great big TVs. We buy fancy cars. We get air conditioning systems and furnaces to keep us warm. And we beautify our homes. We beautify our bodies. And we spend all kinds of money trying to be happy. And here we find your recipe. And Lord, I don't find anything in there that costs us a dime. Costs the Lord Jesus everything. But it costs us nothing. Help us, Lord, to embrace those verses, to meditate upon them, to think about them. And then, Lord, I pray that for Christ's sake, we'd be a happy people. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.